Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, what's good, everybody? How's it going? It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. What's up, everybody? We are back and better than ever. Thanks so much for me, all you LeBron fans. LeBron, what's good? I know you haters. You LeBron haters out there, I'm sure you all are having a fit, because the man is just manhandling the people in the playoffs. Shout out to LeBron and all of that. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm there. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. All right, thanks so much, everybody, for joining me today. Got a great show lined up for you. We have Patterson Council candidate Casey Melvin is here, and he will be talking to us about what his plans are if he makes it to the promised land. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Bill Cosby. So much going on. Trump lining up the lawyers. People are in trouble lining up lawyers. So we'll talk about that as well. We got so much. The show is absolutely packed tonight. So everybody sit back, relax, and sit up and relax. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Because this is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. .com. All right, on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio Show. And on Instagram, it's The Real. Not The Real, it's Real. Ron Kelly One. All right, everybody, thanks so much for joining me. Once again, I have to thank you all a whole bunch of times, because I know I must have thanked you about 3 or 4 times so far. It is all good, because I really thank you, everybody, for coming on to the program, or watching the program, or listening. Program. You can catch me on Facebook Live. As a matter of fact, right now, there's no background behind me, so I'll let y'all see what's behind me tonight. Anyway, that background gets kind of annoying because it's right behind me. I feel like somebody's standing behind me. Anyway, everybody, we have a shout out to Andrea Wheeler Kenyon, who was on the program last week. Good luck. Man, it's Tuesday. The election is today's the 3rd. Yeah, it's coming up. So Mr. Brother Casey Melvin has a ringside primetime seat to be right here on the Ron Kelly Show to tell the folks in the city of Patterson what his plans are. So without any further ado, welcome Mr. Casey Melvin. Welcome, brother. How are you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm great, brother. I'm great. I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and discuss my vision, my platform with your audience. Thank you for that, sir.
All right. Thank you for taking time to come on. You know, I got to tell you, brother, I got to tell you, I talked about you at one time. You were against the lien sale that the city of Patterson was about to hold at some point. You were against that now, and I was against you being against it. So I'm going to keep it 100 with you. So now, and I haven't endorsed anybody. No one has been endorsed. So this is a totally impartial interview here, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Casey Melvin, who's a council at large candidate for this great city of Patterson, New Jersey, is here with me tonight. This is totally impartial because I haven't endorsed anybody. So, you tell everybody what was the problem that you had with the lien sale? The city of Patterson was going to hold
with the tax lien sales?
Yes.
Okay. I actually had no problem with the tax lien sale. I had a problem with the process, in which a person was able to acquire the property. Now, what my issue was making it exclusive to the residents, to the residents, at least have one out of the many auctions that they've had, make those properties that were for sale exclusive to the residents, because the problem was that they were offering these properties in a public auction, and they publicized it on the website, and they publicized it in the newspaper. And when the residents would go and try to acquire some of these properties, they were outbidded by million-dollar developers. We had not an opportunity. It's like you know, letting your children go out to play basketball in a recreational gymnasium, and then they try to get a play, and every time they go on the court, you got Jordan, you got Kobe, you got Shaquille O'Neal on the court. So what are their chances of being able to not get a game, a score, a point or two? They can't, because they're balling with professionals, and these professionals have way more skills than they have, way more expertise and professionalism and height, every advantage over them. So what type of fun, what type of engagement do they have in the game when the competition is, you know, superior to them? None. They have none. So that analogy applied to our city's tax sales and property sales. They were putting us in a room with million-dollar millionaire developers, and we couldn't walk away with anything. So this time I was asking the city to make it fair game. You know, residents competing with residents, and I guess I was talking a foreign language.
But let me ask you this. So, I mean, Patterson, you know, we both can agree that Patterson is a depressed city. Everybody, I'm talking to Casey Melvin. If you can't hear me, the folks on Facebook Live, if you I know you can hear me. If you can't hear Mr. Melvin, you let me know, and I'll make some adjustments here. Because I'm unable to use my phone for my Facebook Live tonight because people, I'm in a group text and they just won't stop. So, the phone's going to keep shutting the system down. So, I'm using the computer tonight to broadcast the program. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Shout out to Derek Lee. Shout out to Cisco Sanchez. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Shout out to Cisco Kid. Let me get serious here. So, but now, and I understand what you're saying, Mr. Melvin. But now, we both can agree that Patterson is a depressed city. Is that you know? Can we agree on that?
I used to think that, but I think differently now.
Okay. Well,
I think Patterson and I've said this in my lecture, my presentations. Patterson is not a poor city. It's not a distressed city. It's a city that's deprived.
But would you agree that let me put it like this. Okay, would you agree that the median income of folks in the city of Patterson is lower than, let's say, Bergen County, where folks do make money? So can we agree Patterson is a low income? I know you don't want to say anything derogatory about the city of Patterson, but the fact is there's just really no money. A lot of the folks are being pulverized with these when a tax rate goes up every 5 minutes. So will you agree that most folks in the city of Patterson wouldn't even begin to have the funds and the resources to take one of these properties and rebuild them? I mean, can we, because that was my contention. Like I'm saying, well, why is Casey, this is Casey Melvin, I'm talking to everybody, city of Patterson council at large candidate coming up on May 8th. Just a couple of days from now. So my contention was like, nobody in Patterson has enough money to rehab these buildings, and you know. So that was my contention with what you were saying. Like, where is the money going to come from? Because they barely have enough money to keep their heads above water as it is in the places that they live right now.
Well,
So
let's look at that, because that was an issue presented by a lot of folk, you know, that thought the same way. But what makes you say that? What evidence do you have this notion that Patterson doesn't have enough money to buy 41 properties? Out of the 149,000 residents, nobody has enough money to buy 41 pieces of land.
Well, see, here's the other thing, too, Mr. Melvin. Here's the other thing, too. Now, let's 100 here. I mean, you ride through the Fourth Ward, and I'm not. I love my people. Don't get me wrong. I love my people, and I don't, you know, try to kick out people's backs, and that's not what I do. But I mean, if you ride through the Fourth Ward and you see where some of these properties are, what would compel you to purchase and rehab one of these properties when you have just total blight all around you?
Mm-hmm. Opportunity. opportunity. I'm gonna tell you, like, the sad part is, and unbeknownst to us, unwillingly, involuntarily, we're kind of like, a lot of that has been going on. That sentiment that nobody wants to invest here. The city's blighted, and that's a bad crime-ridden area. I went to that auction, and those same properties that you say, and other folk have said, nobody wants to buy. Everything sold. Every single thing sold. For more than what they were asking for. They were only asking for 20% of the assessed value. Those properties went as high as 60 to 50% of the assessed value because dozens of people thought different. They didn't look at it as blighted. They looked at it as dilapidated or worthless. They looked at it looked at those properties as an opportunity, which most developers, most investors do. Land is opportunity. Land is power. And as my accountant told me, the God is not making any more land. You buy up any piece of property that you can. These properties were starting, when you talk about affordability, they were starting as low as $1,500. So for $1,500, you can purchase a 25 by 100 lot. For $2,000, for $4,000. See, they scare you with the assumption that property is high priced and you can't afford it. But here it is, starting bid price, $2,000-$3,000. And this is income tax season. I have a family member who got $7,000 in an income tax return. He could have bought two pieces of property.
And then what would he have done?
For income tax return.
Shout out to Tara Kay, who's watching the program. Shout out to Jamie Gill. I hope I'm saying that right, Jaime or Jamie Gill, who's also watching the program. It's one thing to just buy the property. Now, you know that most of the properties have been, you know, the plumbing ripped out of them. They're in really, really bad shape. And when you buy that property, you don't buy the land. The land still belongs to the city of Patterson or the city of Warwick. You're not buying the land, you're just buying the property. The land doesn't belong to you. It still belongs to the city of Patterson. That only happens when you go down
no,
south.
No, you get the deed. You own the land as well. You buy the property, okay. You buy the property, the land included. This last auction had more land than actually property on them. So this was land sales.
All right, I can see that point. But when you buy the land, let's say you buy the land, now you got to assume the high tax rates and the rates that are going. So my whole thing is, where's the money going to come from for somebody? Because you know yourself, if you buy a property, dilapidated property, it's going to cost $50,000-$75,000 or more to rehab the property. Then you have to pay for security to make sure nobody goes in and steals the pipes, you know, after you go home and go to bed. So the rehab cost is enormous. I don't want to belabor this point, but the rehab cost is tremendous. So my point
based on what?
Where's the money going to come from when most folks in the city of Patterson are already already under the gun from the rate hikes, you know, once a week seemingly rate hikes that are going on. Now I'm going to move on after you make your point.
Yeah. Okay. So when you look at a situation, a scenario like that, you got to first think like, why would one be so pessimistic about the process? Let's be optimistic. Let's just say that it doesn't cost a lot, and that there are programs on the books that can help a person not only acquire the property but develop it. They give you the city gives you up to $15,000 for a first time home buyer. They give you another $10,000 or so. In a program that if you work in the city, you live in the city, you get additional funding. And then the property has equity, has value. If you bought it at 20% of the assessed value, you have 80% equity. So you can use that equity to help develop it, right? And then you have contractors, right, that get incentives from the government to help build. They get tax credits and incentives for low-income people to purchase housing, and they can build you a house from the ground up. At a discount. I've had guys, contractors, tell me personally that they can build a house, multi-level house, for $115,000 on a payment plan. So if I can get a loan, if I have a 600 credit score or higher, I can get a loan. And with that loan, I can borrow $100,000+, get a developer to build the property, and my monthly payments will probably be less than $1,000 a month. And I have a two-family dwelling. Right, and my second floor pays for the first floor and my taxes. You understand? So there's plenty of programs. Section 8, through housing has a program to help you buy homes. The city of Patterson through community development has programs to help you buy homes. Since 1992, it's been on the books. So there are plenty of programs, if you look at it from an optimistic approach, that are right there, readily available to help people, average Joes, average Janes, acquire property, develop property, and make it functional.
Okay, thank you for your comment on that. And, you know, I'll get to that optimism, pessimism, because, you know, we'll get to it without me being too contentious. We'll get to it because this optimism, pessimism stuff is really starting to bother me. But we'll get to that. You know, it's going to be a friendly conversation. I'm not here to tear anybody down. I just want to, you know, I just want the folks in the city of Patterson to know, you know, who they're voting for. So shout out to Samuel H. Jr., who also joined the program. All right, so what we'll do is take a break. We'll come right back with Casey Melvin, who is the City of Patterson Council at Large candidate for the election that's coming up May 8th. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the RonKellyShow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, it is. Shout out to Tuffazul Ali. What's up, everybody? It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the RonKellyShow.com. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Started a little bit of a firestorm, everybody. I'm talking to Patterson City of Patterson Council at Large, Casey Melvin. We'll get back to him in just a second. But I started a firestorm because I got to try to squeeze some of this stuff in here. I started a bit of a firestorm last week when I mentioned I kind of had some tacit support from Bill Cosby about Bill Cosby, and some people just hit the roof, you know, and so the folks that are watching on and I'll address your questions as we go along here. The folks who are watching on Facebook Live now, if you still support Bill Cosby, I'd like to know. So those who still support Bill Cosby, do you think that if they're going to take his honorary degrees back, that they should give his money back? Should they take his star from the Walk of Fame off? Because I mean, people were like flipping out when I posted it last week. Facebook, everybody was flipping. So, you know, you can post your comments like Andrea Wheeler-Kinnion did, who's the write-in candidate, Patterson, City of Patterson mayoral write-in candidate that's coming up for the election on May the 8th, I believe it is. In addition to that, everybody, I'm talking to Casey Melvin, City of Patterson, Council of Lords candidate. Andrea Wheeler-Kinnion kind of said the same thing you did about first-time home programs and CDBG funds. And, you know, and I can dig it with the pessimistic, optimistic. But, I mean, come on. I would not build a house in the fourth world. I would not. Okay, I'm keeping it 100. I would not. I mean, it wouldn't be smart for me to take a property on Governor Street or whatever and try to develop it. There's no way I would do that. You know, and that's something that, you know, let me go off the grid for a second here. That's something that we have to understand. I mean, it's one thing to be optimistic, Mr. Melvin, and I can respect and I appreciate that. But there's some real problems in some of these neighborhoods. You know, there's some real, real serious problems. And we can't optimize our way through these things. Some of these things have to be taken care of, you know, because what we do, we kind of turn a blind eye to a lot of these things that are going on in places like the city of Patterson. And we need to, like, face up to, like, okay, there are some serious problems in certain areas. But now, let me move on to actually exactly what I was talking about earlier, the crime problem in the city of Patterson. Now, I don't know everything that you've said. I haven't done any research on you. So you tell me, in your own words, what you think is the answer to crime in the city of Patterson, New Jersey. But what can
okay,
we do?
My answer, I don't, again, I would never sit here and profess to say I have the answer to crime for economic
right.
deprivation
that,
or
that's
none
why,
of the
right,
ills
that's
that
why,
the city is being faced.
That's why I changed it and I said, what do you think? Not because nobody really has the answer.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Right, the absolute answer anyway. But I have thoughts and I can offer some advice and some direction. And what I would offer to the crime situation is to the crime ailment is that I would put a focus on what type of crime bears heavy in our community. And if it's violent crime, like the shootings and things like that, right? That's what stands out the most. That one year we had like, I believe it was 18 shootings. We were averaging a shooting a month, one to two shootings a month and increasing those numbers increased during the summer season, right? And I found talking with a lot of these young folk that were involved with the shootings. In fact, myself and an organization called the Think Tank, Patterson Think Tank, and the Street Keepers were instrumental in keeping the summer of 2015 one of the quietest summers in about 10 years or so. And what we did was we put a direct focus on the individuals who were involved indirectly with the shootings, right? And we got them in one room, and as men, you know, as men, we sat them down and we forced them to have discussion.
What about
we
the people
them
who
to have discussion?
What about
right?
the people who?
And
did?
Once they had discussion, they realized that they had more things in common than that they had apart.
Right.
In fact, they were eager to sit down and meet, but they never had the opportunity. So we facilitated an opportunity for them. We created that environment for peace talk. That environment for rekindling and for discussion and to hash out differences. We taught them exercise through them conflict resolution without being violent, right? And following through with resources and opportunities,
okay,
but those opportunities could not be sustained. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let me ask you. So what about the people who didn't want to show up? What about the naysayers and the, man, I ain't.
Well, fortunately, since we had the right people, at the right time with the right relationships, we had all the vital, those who were instrumental, the heart of the, what they called at that time, the up the hill and down the hill, the heart of the problem, we had a grip on them. We had a connection with them. You understand? So based on that, like they were like somewhat the head. And once the information, once we had the heads to sit down, then the tail pretty much followed suit. You know, the remainder of the folk, I'm not going to say they were a non-factor, but they didn't. Their input wasn't as heavy as those when we had the conference table, and then the word got out. And don't get me wrong, there were some folk who weren't included in that, but you know the response was so overwhelming that people were looking for us, saying, "Oh, what, man, I heard you guys had a peace agreement. I heard you guys established the truce. I wanted to be involved with that." You know, so they were kind of upset that they didn't make that sit down, but just the fact of those particular individuals sit down, and these were the same individuals that kept the city divided, that kept one segment of Patterson not going and frequenting another segment of Patterson. That's how real the violence was, that you were subject to be killed if you crossed a certain part of town. And we had ended that based on, you know, us coming together.
Okay, so let me ask you this now. Okay, you said 2015. Now, what happened in 2016? What happened last year?
Well,
what's going to happen
in 2016, we didn't have the resources to sustain that relationship. And that's another reason why that if I'm in office, I'm going to make sure that communities and organizations and groups get the necessary resources that government can provide. You know, we give out millions of dollars in grants every year, and small-time organizations are instrumental in dealing with the social ills of our community, the violence of our community, you know, the development of the disenfranchised people in our community don't get none of the services. They can't acquire none of that money. So, but had they been able to acquire certain resources and certain financing, we could have extended that peace agreement, that truce that we established in 2015.
Let me ask you, brother.
You know, financing and resources was a major factor that the deficiency in those areas caused everything to pretty much revert back to what it was.
Okay, so you didn't have the resources, and everybody started going out and shooting each other again for the most part. And I know that's not.
Yeah,
you're
things
not
started to fall apart.
I'm saying it. Okay, hold on, Mr. Brother. Mr. Talking to, if you don't know who I'm talking to, it's Patterson at Large Council candidate Casey Melvin, who I'm speaking to, who will be on the ballot just a couple of days from now, 5 days from now, actually. Today's May 3rd. Shout out, you know, peace be upon my mom. I almost forgot to mention, happy birthday to my mom in heaven, Mrs. Almatine Kelly Gibson, who blessed you all with me. So, you know, we want to pay homage to her, you know, and what can I say? You know, it's my mom, she's no longer here. What can I say? No words can't describe how I feel. You know, she's at the foot of the throne now. So, you know, she's in a good place. All right. Shout out to Lamont Gates for joining the program. So let me ask you, now, isn't it time for some radicalness here, Mr. Melvin? Isn't it time for us to, because it seems to me like we just don't get it as far as like what's going on in the community. Like we be optimistic and, you know, and I'm just so sick of people saying be optimistic because there's real problems going on. There's stuff going on. And it seems like we just wearing blinders. Like we're really not trying to see what's really going on in these neighborhoods. We got real serious problems. And maybe because we can't fix them, we just deny them. I mean, what is going on? I mean, isn't it time for some radical stuff? Because, you know, because you see people on Facebook, I'm not even posting any more racist videos, and I never post racist videos anyway, but I'm not doing that anymore unless I'm willing to actually do something. I'm not going to post any more posts about racism anymore, because everybody's doing it, everybody gets pissed off, and then nobody does nothing. So isn't it time for some radical movement here, Mr. Melvin, in regards to
well, I think the radicalism needs to be
I just mean, you know,
the radicalism needs to be in the chamber. However, I don't think it should be the automatic approach. Now, the reason why I say that is because somebody said to me before, like, we got to go, we got to start kicking down doors and demanding opportunity.
That's
a radical approach. That's a radical approach, right? To go in there and kick down the doors and demand and protest, right? When in all actuality, Ron, right, you don't even have to kick down the door. All you have to do is just turn the knob and it opens up, right? You don't even have to buy your way into things. You can just actually work your way into certain places and walk into certain places. I've noticed that. Like, why? So the radicalism, you know, in most cases now, because of the work done by people before us, things are much easier to acquire. Like, it's easier for us to get a job. It's easier for us to go certain places. It's easier for us to obtain certain careers now, based on the radicalism that was done in previous years. But what we have not done was we've not taken advantage of that. We've not taken advantage of that.
Okay, let me keep
that,
this on
that, path. That's where we are today from my perspective. In most cases, not all, but most cases.
I'm sorry, somebody just texted me and told me to close my bathroom door. Anyway, shouldn't have been looking back there. Anyway, I didn't mean to. I apologize, my brother. All right, Casey Melvin, Patterson, at large council candidate. So, all right, so I'm going to try to keep it on Patterson because I'm letting this morph into a national, because this is a national radio show, and I want to try to keep it on Patterson and let it morph into something different. So let me start with, all right, so let's talk about the tax problem. We addressed the the crime. Let's talk about the tax problems in the city of Patterson, which are totally out of control. Let's talk about that for a second. And you know as well as I do that, again, when I referred to earlier, the tax rate, tax increase per second. Yeah. So what are some of the things we can do? Shout out to Lamont Gates. Lamont Gates did agree with you, Mr. Melvin. He said that you are right. The black community must take advantage of all the benefits offered to them. And everybody who's, and I know people are afraid to call the show, but you can call the show 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838 in Ron Kelly Show, or you can make your comment like Lamont Gates just did on Facebook Live. So definitely make it. If you agree with him, you disagree, you like him, you don't like him. Like me, most of y'all don't like me anyway. But except for the people who are on the radio, on the Facebook Live right now. But yeah, you can hit us up, and if you want to, you have a question for Mr. Melvin, you can definitely put it on Facebook Live, and if it's a legitimate question, we'll address it. Okay, so all right, so there is a tax problem in the city of Patterson. Now the tax rate is supposed to go up 2%. Each time, and it's been going up 5%, 8%. So what's going on here? Have you studied that, and what would you do about it if you became the at-large council candidate? You'd have to garner support because you have not eight other council members, but what would your approach be to try to give people a break about the crime issue that's going on in the city, the tax issues going on in the city of Patterson?
Okay, and that's another great question regarding the tax rate. For one, I would never, the tax issue within itself is more so an administrative endeavor, coming from the mayor's office. However, it does have support of the council. The council actually approves the budget, and they approve a tax increase, right? They get the vote on the tax increase proposed by the business administrator or the administration. One thing I would suggest, sitting on committees, sitting on giving input on financial committees and input to the administrative body, is we need to work more so on income-producing departments. We have several departments that generate income, that make money. We have community improvement, codes and enforcements, where they do the permits. They do inspections and things like that. That generates money. The fire department does things to generate money. The health department.
Fine people to generate revenue?
Not only fines, but inspections and certificates and licenses and things like that. They have different things that a company or a homeowner must do in order for his or her home, to receive a certificate of occupancy. So if I did a new construction, if I did a new structure, I have to get certain permits. If I rent out my apartment, I have to get certificates and certain permits, right? We need to improve on those departments by giving them the resources they need. Automation is important. If we can do an automation service where a person who applies for, let's say, if a food handling certificate or a food handling certificate is done, by way of paper, if we can automate that and make it more faster and more efficient, right, we can produce more money, right? Departments like recycling under public works. Recycling is one of the biggest areas that can generate a whole lot of money if the proper investment was made, right? Recycling, at one year, they generated about $2 million, and it's jokingly, a person who works for the public works came in the barbershop and he laughed and he said, yeah, the mayor just laid off individuals from recycling and they brought in $2 million that year. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that income producing departments do not deserve layoffs. They deserve investments, because if we made, let's say, with a staff of 100 people, $2 million, imagine what we can make with a staff of 150, right?
Okay,
$2.5 million.
$3 million.
But
and you make a great point about revenue producing departments, but the money goes right back out because
that money goes into the general fund, but that's more money being generated and less money being transferred as a need from the taxpayers. You understand?
Right. But you have,
that department is producing more money. So if nine departments produce at an efficiency rate of, let's say, 50%, nine departments produce 80%, then it can produce millions of more dollars, which will be less money needed from the taxpayers. Because whatever is not produced by the income generating departments is incumbent upon the taxpayers and the state.
And I get all of that, but now what happens with, you know, you have these enormous, you have these enormous workman's comp cases, and the lawsuits are flying left and right, and every Tuesday night the council is approving some other outlay of cash for somebody getting beat up by the police, or they tripped and fell down the steps of City Hall, or some public works employee getting hurt. So millions of dollars are being out every year for tort cases, and sometimes the money is being borrowed. So how can we stop the city from borrowing money to pay these things, because they're not getting anything for them? They just, these police chiefs getting $200,000 to $300,000 severance, and even Joey Torres walked off with $75,000. So what can we do to keep some of the cash that comes into the city?
Well, hire from within. Hire from within. If the police chief and the fire chief and the director and the administrator is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then they, you know, they jump in their vehicle when they get their paycheck and take it to neighboring towns to spend, that's a problem, because that's not money being reinvested in our community, in our city. It doesn't go to the barbershop. It doesn't go to the supermarket, to the mechanic. And so on. That's money being taken out. What we have to do is we have to tighten up. I made a suggestion today, right, that to one of my clients in general conversation, that a person should not be able to work in Patterson unless, well, the person, whatever his driver's license says, whatever the address is where his driver's license is, that's where he should be working at if it's a city job. So if you live in Hoboken, then you can't get a city job. If you get a city job, it has to be in Hoboken.
But that's a constitutional.
You know, and that'll keep some of the. That's one way to keep the money in town.
But it's a constitutional thing.
So as soon
thing.
As your license changes, then your job change. Your job ends, and that's.
But
it.
It's a
if your job.
But it's a constitutional
it's a
thing.
What?
Way to work. It's a constitutional. People have the right to live where they want to live. They shouldn't have to. Work
absolutely.
Because I work in Patterson, but I don't live in Patterson. I used to, but I don't anymore.
Okay.
I live in my bed. I got tired of getting my window.
No, and I hear you on that, but that constitution was designed and written by legislators, right? So the legislator has the ability to write law and whatever language used to mandate that a person who holds a city position must live in the city in which they work. That could be done by way of legislation.
But
just like the Constitution says what it says, that was an act of legislation.
We know that piece of legislation is never going to make it to the Senate floor. Never, ever, ever. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. No, we'll take a break. We'll take a break,
okay.
My brother. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of City of Patterson at large. Council candidate Casey Melvin. In case you haven't noticed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, You help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. We are back, and don't you dare get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com on Facebook, Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio Show, and on Instagram, which I've been having a problem with, Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. So anybody on Instagram who said something to me and I haven't responded, it's not because I don't want to respond, it's that I can't respond. For some reason, the thing won't let me respond to anybody. So all folks who are watching the Ron Kelly Show who also follow me on Instagram, or I follow them. I'm trying to get at you, but I don't know what's going on. Anyway, shout out to Mike Mazak from way back. So, man, it's good to see your name up there on the side of my TV screen there. Mike Mazak, one of my dudes from way back in the day in Patterson. Anyway, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on wildtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. com. Talking to Casey Melvin, who is a City of Patterson at-large council candidate, and the election is May the 8th. Such contention. I mean, especially with the mayor's race, it's been like ugly, no good, just bad and ugly. But we won't talk about that. We're talking about the at-large council race. You're not actually running against anybody. You're running for you. You're not actually running against anybody head-to-head. That's how the at-large council election goes. But all right, so we talked a little bit about taxes, and brother Melvin. I know you in the beginning you refused to, or you turned down an opportunity to categorize the city of Patterson as being depressed or void of funds, or however you want to put it. You declined to say anything about it, but me, I won't decline. And the fact of the matter is that the city of Patterson is a low median income city. I'm not saying anything that's not true. The city of Patterson is a low median income city, and the city of Patterson has a very high poverty rate. So you make it
to the county. Yeah, all that is true, Ron. That is true.
It's true, right? So, because we got to stop, and I'm not saying you, brother, but we got to stop with this optimism, pessimism stuff, because optimism blinds people, and they don't really want to see what's really going on. Not you, but I'm speaking in general. Folks are. Somebody's still telling me to close the bathroom door. Anyway, so in case I got to go to the bathroom, I won't have to open the door. But, okay, so with the poverty situation in Patterson, what can you, I mean, not you as an individual, because, you know, I see people talking about what they can do, but I know enough about politics to know there ain't nothing that you're going to be able to do by yourself. It's just not going to happen because you got 8 other council members that you have to schmooze with or whatever, talk to, kick it with, to get them to do, at least 5 of them to do what you want them to do, or 4 of them rather. So let's speak about the poverty rate in the city of Patterson and what can we do, not necessarily to solve it, but to help, because there's always going to be poverty. You know, there's poverty in Beverly Hills. Where what we can do to kind of stem the rise of poverty in inner cities like, you know, city of Patterson, New Jersey.
Okay, now poverty and that kind of feeds into the overall visual of how Patterson is perceived. A lot of that comes from poverty, right, as a result of poverty. So when you talk about Patterson being a poverty city, a distressed city, I don't argue that. What I argue is the fact of how we got there. I don't classify it as that, a poor city or deprived city or a poverty city. I classify it as a city deprived. basically for the reason that we spend over $280 million in a 12-month period, $550 some odd million from the school district in 12 months. So here you have almost $1 billion, $150 million short from $1 billion being spent in a 12-month period on the city of a population of 150,000 people in an 8.5 square mile radius, right? And you mean to tell me that the city should be looking like the way it looks?
Well, the city should be.
That makes no sense to me. The only reason why that happens is because we're being deprived. All of that money, all of that wealth is being redirected out of the city. Thus is the formula for poverty. You understand? So I don't look at it as a poverty city. I look at it as a city deprived.
But see, the city of
Patterson, spent almost $1 billion in 12 months in this city, Ron.
Right.
So the money's there. Would you not agree?
But I agree. But the city of Patterson's portion of that $550 million is less than $50 million. Because there's no way that the city of Patterson can generate.
No, I'm not talking about the contributing amount. I'm talking about the amount being spent.
Well,
yeah, I'm not talking about the tax contribution. I'm talking about the amount being spent.
Right. I can
$280 million being spent from the city's budget, right? Plus more, right? Because we do bonding. There's a lot of bonding going on for streets and roads. So we spent $37 million 1 year on road paving, on top of the $280 million, right?
Okay,
money being spent in this town.
And I get that. I get that, you know, that money, and you know, I know people come to Patterson to make money and leave. You know, most of the money that's made.
Of course,
most of the money that's
made. Right. And then when people make money, there's people that are not making money.
And that's why the city looks the way it does, because the people who really make money don't live here. The people who are, you know, I would say 95% of the folks who own businesses downtown the city of Patterson don't live. So when they leave, they take the money with them to Franklin Lakes or Bergen County or wherever it is that they live, Pennsylvania, New York City, a lot of
uh-huh.
them.
Talk about
Long
it.
Island, a lot of
so what's
but,
left?
You know, I'm so mad for you because I let everybody, you know, y'all know I lived in the city of Patterson for 13 years. So I know what's going on over there. Just because I live in Montclair now, I don't mean no. So, yeah, the city of downtown city of Patterson, most of the people who live there, are not even, most of them, many of them are not even from this country, never mind from the area. So I'm not being Trumpish here, but I do think
Ron. So if you had a garden, let's use a garden as an analogy, right? Here you have a garden, right, with nothing but dead, withered flowers in it, right? And then across the other yard is the flowers are blooming and blossoming and green and colorful. But then in the yard next to it, this withered flowers and brown rusted leaves and patches in the lawn. You wouldn't say the garden next door is a withered, unplentiful garden. No, that's a garden that's been deprived. When you're taking all of that water, all of those vitamins, all of that fertilizer, and you're putting it into the other garden, that's the result. So that's what's happening to our city. The unemployment, the drug addiction, the blighted, abandoned housing, is all because the resources are being drawn out and nothing is being put back into the garden. Nothing being replenished, no fertilizer, no sunlight, no water. All there is very little, very little.
Right,
so that's why I'm running. I want to take all that sunlight and bring it right back to our garden. I want to take all that fertilizer and put it right back into that garden.
Okay,
you know, I told people my platform being about the people, if it doesn't benefit the residents, I'm not supporting it.
Okay, analogies are nice. Mr. Casey Melvin, who is a Patterson at-large council candidate, analogies are nice about water and flowers, but let's do nitty-gritty here. And I'll give you a couple minutes before the show closes out because I got about 10 minutes left to the program and I do want to say something before you leave. So I'll give you a couple minutes, please, and try to be as brief as you can, a couple minutes to tell the folks, because the election is only 5 days away. So take a couple minutes and just outline, you know, please be as brief as possible so we can get a little more in here and let the folks know what your plans, what your platform is. Not necessarily what your plans are, but what your platform is.
Okay, so I don't have a solid plan. I have a vision because plans are subject to change. I don't know what's inside. I don't know what actually we're going to be facing with the council because I'm not inside. There's a lot of information in these meetings that I'm not privy to, so I can't say a plan. Then when I get in and I don't do the plan, the first thing that people are going to do is call me a liar. So I have a vision.
Right,
I have some ideas, right? So
right,
my vision is once I get in there, I want to create a first opportunity initiative. This pretty much says that any opportunity, anything of real value, whether it be contracts, development, redevelopment, acquisition of property, I want to make that available to the residents first. And not only make it available to them first, I want to also provide resources of training, education, and whatever information that they need to be successful to receive these contracts, to purchase these properties by way of government agencies. We have the Patterson Restoration Corporation, the Urban Enterprise Zone, the Small Business Association and Administration, Community Improvement, different departments that can train individuals, walk them through the step-by-step process to acquire some of the wealth, some of the resources, and some of the jobs that this city has to offer. So I want to make that available to the residents first instead of out of town.
All right, stop
I
right
want to
there.
Work on...
Stop go. Right there. All right, now, crime.
Okay.
Because I'm giving crime. You like an...
I want to empower grassroots organizations to be involved with the crime. Because a lot of these crimes take place in small communities, the first, the fourth, and the fifth wards. But there's always a group within those communities, within those neighborhoods that knew what happened before it happened and saw it coming. And then organizations out there that receive little to no funding who help try to quell some of these situations down but don't have the resources nor the finances. So I want to empower them, organizations like the Street Keepers and I am my Sister's Keepers and the Village and the Black Condition and Mature Sisters, you know, several organizations that have been helpful, community working, Humble Beginnings. There's dozens of organizations that have received little to no funding, and they could be a support aid to addressing some of the criminal element because they've identified the supporting factors that leads one to commit crime. Like they know that the reason why Pookie did what he did is because something was missing. And that organization tried to, you know, provide that missing link, but didn't have the, you know, the what it needed to, you know, maintain financially or socially or, you know, resourcefully. So I want to give them those resources so they can be successful by way of government, by way of legislation. You know, we give out millions of dollars in grants to organizations that, to me, are not producing enough results, that they are inadequate. Let's redirect some of these funds to some of these community organizations and see what happens.
Okay. All right. Everybody, you're talking to Casey Melvin, who is the at-large council candidate for the great city of Patterson, New Jersey. I still say Patterson is a great city, even though it's got some big holes, great big issues. But I still say it's a city that can be saved. But I just want to say, everybody who's listening to the Ron Kelly Show, it's every Thursday night, 7 p.m. On blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com, that whatever happens in the city of Patterson or anywhere else, L.A., St. Louis, San Francisco, New York, Dallas, D.C., wherever, Gary, Indiana, or even Flint, Michigan, or someplace like that, it's up to the people. It's up to the people of the city of Patterson and all these other places. The people are the ones, the power. It's not the politicians. It's people.
Yes.
Politicians can guide you in certain ways, but it's the power. The power is within the people, and it's up to the people.
Yes, sir.
To keep in front of their doors to, you know, I mean, I don't know about ratting people out and all that stuff, whatever, but, you know, but you have to take a, you know, I think that you're right. Casey Melvin, who I'm talking to right now, Council at Large Candidate, City of Patterson, I think you're right where you talk about home ownership, because when people have a stake in a neighborhood, and people have a sense of sense of investment in the neighborhood, they care more about the neighborhood rather than renters. I mean, I rent, but I care about my neighborhood, but it's not, it doesn't mean I don't. But when people own property, they feel empowered for the most part.
Absolutely.
Take care of neighborhoods. So everybody who's living in these neighborhoods, these blighted neighborhoods, and I will say they're blighted because they are, they need to get a sense of empowerment. This is where you live. This is what you do. If people don't throw so much garbage on the street, there won't be so much garbage on the street. You know what I'm saying? Put out your garbage cans. Don't have them overloaded with stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that people can do to take back the neighborhoods, and that's what people need to do. Everybody I'm talking to, we'll get back to, we'll talk about Cosby, and we'll talk about the Me Too movement. Is the Me Too movement unfairly is affecting people unfairly? Is people losing their careers unfairly? And for all you LeBron haters, let me give you an update for the LeBron haters out there. It's 96-81 Cavs with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So it looks like it's going to be a 15-point. Looks like it's going to be another by the Cavs and LeBron. You hate us, LeBron. So I just want to thank you. Thank you, KQ Man. I know you're busy out there. You know, it's going to really get, you know, down to the nitty gritty this weekend. You're probably going to be out there doing indoors and so forth and so on. So, you know, mad respect for you, brother. I'm glad that you are running. And
thank you.
You know, and I think that you can make a difference. City of Patterson, if you don't get swept up in the politics of it, because what happens with a lot of activist candidates, sometimes they go in and they get swept up by the, get swept into the politics of these things, and they don't really, you know, and what they rode in on kind of gets lost. Hoping that doesn't happen to you, brother, and that you're able to to keep your agenda alive and to continue to try to help the folks of the city of Patterson, the ones you said that you would help. I've known Mr. Melvin for a long time. I used to get my haircut there at his establishment, and I did. I was not a member, but I did go to some of the meetings, and I was familiar with the group you guys had. I'm sorry.
The brothers group,
right? Who do the
brothers?
The babies and some of the other things that these brothers do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we appreciate you, brother. I did go to the Day of the Babies once. I didn't host it, but I was there. Matter of fact, I think I did a broadcast from there. So, it was a memorable experience. Yeah, so thank you for that. And, you know, brother, I'll be praying for you, my brother, you know, that God will see clear to your victory. Like I said, I didn't endorse anybody, but I'm hoping that you, if you get there, that you will be able to continue to do the things that you intend to do, that you say you're going to do for the city of Patterson. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming on the program.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking time out. Thank you to your secretary who hooked all of this up and who asked me to email a number to your email. I'm like, hold on. But I know that. Have to be done the way they're done. You know what I mean? She's like, could you email me the number? I was like, come on, I can tell you right now. But I was like, you know what? When in Rome, that's the way she wants to do it. You know, I email the number. Anyway, all right, I'm heading off to JR to smoke, be a cigar, and watch LeBron or what's left of it. Anyway, everybody, y'all have a great night. Great evening. And thank you, brother. Everybody, it's Casey Melvin, who is the Patterson at-large. Patterson at large candidate.
Yep, 8B. My number is 8B on the ballot.
8C is in Charles. AC is in Casey. Is
yep.
It 8C?
8B is my number on the ballot. Yep, Casey Melvin, 8B on the ballot. Row 8B.
8B. Oh, B is in boy.
Yep, the number 8, the letter B, as in boy.
All right, everybody. Okay, everybody.
As in the best, as in beautiful. All right,
Casey Melvin, the best beautiful Casey Melvin has been with us, everybody. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you, man. We'll have you back, you know, and if you win, I definitely want to invite you to the party, and I'll be there.
Yes sir, absolutely.
All right, thank you, brother.
Thank you
for coming
for everything.
All right, everybody,
yes,
we're out.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. All right, everybody, got 8 seconds left, so I'm out of here. Everybody have a nice week, and remember, if you don't I remember to just be nice to somebody because somebody short might have to be nice to you. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. Have a good week.
Peace.